This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, guess who's back in the podcast palace?
How about that?
Hi, Dee.
Hi. Beside you for a change.
Yeah, I know. Rather than 2,112 miles.
Whatever. Who's counting?
Well, welcome back. Dee and I just met up this morning. She came into Mass, I think 30 seconds before Mass started.
At least a minute before, yes.
Return after being gone for a week. And
I actually flew back in last night, but it was, 8 o'clock or after before I was picked up at the airport. And I just thought, no, I don't think I want to drive that hour and a half up the dark canyon alone by myself. And I was also feeling a little tired. So I stayed down with our daughter and her family and got up this morning and drove up and got up and 1 minute to spare, made it into Mass.
Well, I'm glad you were there. And it was such, just a warm feeling in my heart. And you heard when I'd led the intentions during the Mass, I said, for gifts and blessings received. And we prayed for that. Well, that was directed in part to you and for you.
Before we go any further, what vitamin is this?
This is one of those strange vitamins. People will find out we're not as creative as we pretend to be. We are up against letter X
here. Yeah, we ran out of creativity for X a long time ago.
Yeah, we did. So this is vitamin
extra
number seven. Seventh time that we've done an extra vitamin. And among the things that we're going to present to you today, besides some enhanced prattle, is we have one of the deacon's homilies. And
is it any deacon we know?
This deacon here, we tried to get somebody else to come on the show, but we don't pay enough. So we're glad you're with us, dear friends. And Dee, quick arch, how was your trip from beginning to end?
Very good. I had, two separate flights going out, two separate flights coming back. They were all on time, made my connections just fine. And, do I need to talk about how nice my trip back was?
Yes, because I was going to bring it up. Here we are, friends. I married a country, I don't want to use the word bumpkin, but I married a girl from backwoods Pennsylvania, and she flew back from Pennsylvania, what, Dee?
In first class.
Oh, my heavens. She'll never be the same. Not only will she be the lovely.
I won't let him forget it, folks. It's the only way I want to travel.
Did you sniff the leather? And?
No, I am beyond that now.
Are you? We flew to Fiji one time, first class, and, well, that's a different story. But at any rate, I'm glad you're back, and you had good flights, good connectivity. We had one sad aspect of, well, joyous in the sense of a life completed, but you went to a funeral of a good friend, Barbara DeSantis.
Right. That was the main purpose of the trip back, was to go do the Celebration of Life Mass for her. We really, really will miss her.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And it was like a reunion, which most times funerals are, but I hadn't seen her four grown children, and we haven't seen them in years and years and years, and I don't think we've ever met any of the grandchildren, her grandchildren, in person. I've just seen pictures over the years, so this was a chance for me to get to see all four kids, their entire families, all the grandchildren, everything. It was just wonderful.
Well, some of the pictures that you shared with me and a few that I posted look like it was a wonderful get-together, sad for her passing, yeah. Barbara's passing. But
a nice turnout, a combination of, family, on both sides of the marriage, and neighbors, ex-neighbors from the street that they lived on all the years that we knew them.
Remember our visits to Weiss Street, wasn't it Weiss Street in Rockville, Maryland? And we were there just so many times as family. And Barbara was a gourmet, wonderful Italian cook. We had such wonderful meals.
Yeah, we were reminiscing about her cooking and oh, lots of things. It was a nice day.
All right. Then, before that day was ended, we have to kind of watch our prattle time. But
yes, I left the church where we had the luncheon after the Mass, and I texted a friend that I was going to meet up with, and that friend was our Facebook friend, Jennifer Larkin, who lives there in the same town.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I played Words with Friends with her, and we've been Facebook friends for, what, 4 or 5 years maybe? 3 or 4 years?
I don't want to talk about her and Words with Friends. She embarrasses me.
But, I mean, this is just a wonderful, I think, perks of social networking is to when you get to meet somebody in person that you've just known through the internet for years. And so we got to have a nice hour or hour and a half visit.
Oh, good, good. If I were there, I would have given her a big hug because, as you know, over time you share enough messages or prayer requests or smiles or teasing mm-hmm. that you begin to feel like you really do know the person, even if you've never been with them personally. And Jennifer has a son who's at Franciscan University.
Right, and she has another son who's just coming out of high school, and he's discerning where he wants to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you to Jennifer and to all of the listeners to Catholic Vitamins who've been with us for a long time. And to the new ones, we welcome you. This doesn't sound very Catholic, what we're doing here, but it's called Prattle, Vitamin P Prattle. And that will be the end of this segment of Prattle. We'll be back with some more later. Dear, do you remember Sister Regina Marie Gorman, whom you saw at the Phoenix Catholic Women's?
She spoke to us there, and then she spoke to you at the men's conference.
Right. Well, in addition to her lovely talk that she gave to us men, that's the only one that I know of, she announced a new album by the Carmelite Sisters of Los Angeles, where she's from. And the name of the album is Lean Into the Wind. It's the Carmelite Sisters who are singing, and that beautiful song that you just asked about, Dee, is Bless Our Priests. And as we enter Holy Week, as we give thanks for the gift of the priesthood on Holy Thursday, which is really when Jesus instituted the Eucharist and the order of the priesthood, I just thought it was appropriate to play that song. And we'll put a link to the sisters and to the CD, leanintothewind.com, on our website for this show. But wasn't it gorgeous?
It was. I remember at the women's conference, they had some information on their table about the CD that was coming out. And I think by the end of that following week, it was out and you were able to buy it.
Yes.
At your conference. We weren't able to buy it at the women's conference.
Well, actually, I didn't buy that one. One of the sisters out at the table had a damaged copy. And when I told her about Catholic Vitamins, she said, oh, absolutely. She said, I'll give you this one here that has a broken case on it. And I said, may we promote your music and play it? And she said, oh, absolutely. And we're going to try to see if we can get one of the sisters to come on as an interview sometime in the future. Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be great. Sister Regina would be great.
I know. But she's the superior, the vicar general for the Carmelite order.
And several other positions she holds within the order.
Well, we call this our extra show. And one reason is that we ran out of funding and we couldn't bring in a high-powered interview guest. And so we have a backup, and the backup is one of Deacon Tom's recent homilies. If you listen to this probably after Holy Week, it will not be quite as apropos, but we think that the subject, we hope and pray that the subject is worthwhile and will motivate a few hearts. So we will be back. To share a true story with you this morning. It's about blindness. You might not recognize it as blindness right away, but I'll try to help as we go further into today's homily. Back east, a bishop gets on an airplane to do a few-hour flight. He takes his seat next to a businessman, and the fellow never looks up. Never greets his seatmate, the bishop. He just keeps reading his pocketbook. Well, you know how bishops are. So this bishop is used to engaging people, and he waits for 45 minutes or so until the flight attendant has come by with the cart and the drinks, snacks. And as both men start to drink their soft drinks, the bishop directs his attention to the businessman. And he says, my name is Bishop Durbin, and I just wanted to introduce myself. And with no little amount of disdain, the business fellow says, look, I just want to say to you that I don't have anything to do with organized religion. And Bishop Durbin said to him, oh, good heavens, you'd love it in my diocese. We're completely disorganized. He said, it's pure chaos where I work. You know, there's more of a grain of truth in that little story. Here's another sort of blindness that some people have about the church. There are people who come to church at Christmas and Easter. They come because to them the church is just grand. They see all the flowers and we try our best with the music, and people are dressed up. There's lots of celebrating. That's a form of blindness for those who come once, twice, three times a year. There are other forms of blindness. For example, some who come to church every Sunday, and they feel that it's boring. They don't see any life in the Mass. As I spoke about the last time I preached, some on-again, off-again people, they may see a lack of love or joy or enthusiasm, and off they go. But these situations I've described makes one wonder if they've ever really thought about what it must have smelled like a Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark is a form of the church. Think about it. What must it have smelled like? The church, as I said a few weeks ago, is a hospital for sinners. And for those who don't like disorganized religion or who flit around the edges of the church, in a way, they demonstrate a timeless message
like the gospel we heard today. Surely we are not blind, are we? And I'll paraphrase Jesus' reply. You think that you see all that's wrong around you. You are saying you see, so your sin remains. All right, Deacon Tom, where are you leading us today? The point of this is that if we look for beauty in so many places and ways in the church, if we are participating members of the church, if we pray for the church, we can and will find beauty in so many ways and places. Take, for example, Angela and Chris Faddis. Have any of you heard of them? They are from nearby Mesa, Arizona. They are people who have become known to a lot of very active Catholics. On Easter Sunday, 2011, just 3 years ago, Angela was admitted to a hospital after an emergency room visit revealed a large mass in her colon and multiple tumors on her liver. The diagnosis was stage 4 metastasized colon cancer. No chance of a cure. Stage 4 cancer found in a 34-year-old married woman, married 6 years, a couple with 2 very young children. Remembering that it was Easter morning, what does wife Angela say to her husband when they get the diagnosis? Angela's words were these: Jesus still rose, so we will trust. This beautiful statement of faith became the couple's mission as they strived to trust in Christ as they prayed for healing. A friend of Angela Faddis set up a support page on Facebook, and week by week, the couple shared their faith journey with the people who followed them on the computer. Angela and Chris went on a Catholic TV program down in Phoenix to give testimony of their great faith in whatever Jesus had planned for Angela. I became aware of Angela's sickness sort of late, and at the time that I joined the support group, there were 6,500 people who had signed up and were praying to Jesus for a miracle, including people from this parish. Husband Chris remarked that he felt that God would use this journey for God's own glory. And Angela remarked publicly that she knew God sought to purify her on her journey. Both of those things happened as thousands in Angela's walk with cancer progressed. Angela was indeed purified and surrendered with joy to God's will as we watched their homemade videos. Because of their earlier walk in the Catholic faith, Angela did not have to be cured of blindness. In fact, her witness and testimony helped bring about a cure from blindness in others. This is a most beautiful story. Many who were not active in the faith were moved by Angela's witness. Cures came about from the beauty of her Catholic faith and from the support and love that husband Chris shared openly for others to see. More people were drawn to the beauty of marriage. These videos are still online. Chris and Angela going on Catholic TV down in Phoenix, giving witness to the living, beautiful faith that they had. A video of people coming into Angela's bedroom when she wasn't feeling all that well, coming in to weep and to pray and to give their support. Chris had always desired to write a book on trust. During their illness journey, the couple decided that Perhaps they were meant to write a book to tell their story, a story of trust. The book, It Is Well, Life in the Storm, was started by Chris and Angela Faddis. Before the book was completed, Angela died. Her massive funeral was held down at St. Timothy's Parish in Mesa. Husband Chris continued writing, and his self-published book was released October 1st, 2013. It has become a big seller, and people in this parish have read it and wept. Husband Chris goes to parishes and conferences all over the country. He was just in Upper Michigan at a small parish, a very small parish. The parishioners paid his travel, paid for his travel and speaking expenses to hear the testimony of two people of faith, people who weren't blind to the beauty of our faith. Compare those lives to the lives of the businessman who doesn't like organized religion. One of the favorite Christian hymns sung here and elsewhere has these words, I once was blind, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Tell me, church, what's the name of that song? Of course, Amazing Grace. God's amazing grace is so fittingly appropriate to the scripture readings today. There are people who are born blind or people who have lost their sight. There are people who have developed cancer or Alzheimer's. There are people who don't understand what it means to be Catholic. Often they can't accept that we have great brokenness in Noah's Ark. Today's scripture gives us the teaching that any of those who face really tough issues in their life, they can be brought to an amazing sense of new vision by the power of God's grace. I'm so grateful for our recently completed parish mission with Monsignor O'Grady. Father O'Grady reminded us to see God in the ordinary, to see God in the day-to-day. The Faddis book, It Is Well, gives the reader a chance to experience the splintered, bloody crucifix of Good Friday and the shining, radiant cross of Easter. I believe Angela is in heaven. Angela Faddis turned out to be an amazing witness of love and trust and hope in Christ. Those who have trouble seeing our beautiful faith will only see tragedy in Angela's death. The whole subject of blindness is a most important subject in the Bible. Through much of Scripture, blindness is a spiritual metaphor and is used to represent the spiritual inability to see God, the inability to see Jesus Christ and God's truth and in the church. Just as in the gospel, the man who was physically blind couldn't see God's visible revelation of his only son. I once was blind, but now I see. God's amazing grace has cured me from much blindness. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I see much beauty in the Catholic Church, in the sacraments. I often see such beauty in the ordinary and everyday things. How about you? Blessings.
Jesus, how all my sin and sadness you take and banish.
lovely music once again was the Carmelite Sisters of Los Angeles. That is the title song from their album, Leaned Into the Wind. And I really hope we get one of the sisters to join us on Catholic Vitamins in a while. And we'd just love to play some more of their music. There's something for every taste on that album. And that was Lean Into the Wind. And you could find that album at leanintothewind.com. Dee.
I have a couple of pieces of feedback here.
Please.
This was not a heavy feedback week. First, we want to welcome a new friend to our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, Peggy.
Agelski.
Yeah. I never know how to pronounce
it. Oh, dear.
Dear friend Peggy, she goes to our parish here in Arizona. And we had a listener, Stephen Hill, he posted on the Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, great podcast. And he was referring to the one Catholic Vitamins W for with Becky Green.
Oh, yes, Becky Bowers Green. Yeah.
He said, and I even flew into Phoenix to listen to it in its native habitat.
Well, thank you very much for that. That's nice of you.
And one rather sad note to pass on is we have a listener in Pennsylvania, Risa Federline, and her mother, Marcella, just passed away this weekend.
May God grant her eternal rest and peace. And may God grant healing to Risa and her family.
I know Risa was a caregiver for her mother. I think her mother lived at home with her family.
All right. I met Risa when I checked into Franciscan University. I think it was just last summer. She was there to drop off one or more young people for a weekend of getting pumped up for one of the youth events. So it was good to see her and meet her. That was one of my little meet and, well, we didn't meet and greet. No, we didn't meet and eat like you did. But,
And I had just missed her. That was the time I just missed her by
just
a couple minutes.
That's
I had just driven off with my brother who came to pick me up.
Well, God willing, I'll be in Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio again this June, Dee, as we make our trek. I think we talked about that on the last show, that we have another trek planned back east.
I had lots of friends back in Pennsylvania who were saying, are you coming back in June?
Aww.
Are you coming in June like you usually do? Since I was here this time, they weren't sure I was coming back again.
Well, I want to say something about our show format this time. We called this Vitamin X7, an extra show, and we gave our correspondents off for this weekend, and most of them decided to do that. Mariana Bartholomew, award-winning journalist, is taking off, and she's been very active in supporting Father Varghese in India. Justin Stroh did submit a wonderful TNEP segment, this new evangelization podcast segment, and we'll play that in just a moment. It's great because it's about John Paul II. I'll say a word about that in a moment. But we heard from Fergal. Dear Fergal is really getting into the vortex of becoming a deacon.
He's finding out what being a deacon is all about.
Yeah, for sure.
How much time it takes sometimes.
And then our friend and newest correspondent from Tennessee, ma'am, Sonia Corbett, is herself getting sucked into a vortex. Dee, I want to read something for our listeners. Sonia Corbett has been leading a new segment from her home base. It's called Heroes, and it's seven heroes of the Scripture, both Old and New Testament. And I was asking her if she had many signed up, and she said she has about 20 total signed up for the live online part, and they represent 12 different states. And then she's got 50 or so doing the same study locally with her. And I mention all that because, dear friends, if you like Sonia Corbett and her wonderful scripture teachings and commentary, why don't you go to pursuingthesummit.com and see if you can still sign up. I know she's got the materials online, so you'll be able to do that.
And that explains why she's not with us this week.
Yes, she's very, very busy. I want to say one more word about John Paul II before we move into our segment with Justin. We are beginning an effort to go back to Italy. We haven't talked to our listeners about this. We'll mention it later on. But one of the highlights of our trip in 2004, 10 years ago, was being at an audience with John Paul II. And I've said to you, Dee, and said here on our show, how emotional it was, how absolutely emotional it was to be close, like 30 or 40 feet from John Paul II, and to know that you were in the presence of great holiness. Well, Justin Stroh, an award-winning correspondent and evangelist and musician in his own right, has a great devotion to John Paul II. And so I'd like to pause now in Catholic Vitamins, and we'll bring up Justin Stroh.
Enabler, Mother of the Church.
Hello, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. We're very excited because in 2 weeks, our hero is going to be canonized, Blessed John Paul II. Now, this is the man who has traveled to just about every country in the world. Millions of people have seen him. Millions of people have read him. Millions of people have heard of him. And on the day of his canonization, they will suddenly realize that they have either seen, heard, or read a saint, and that saintliness is within their grasp, that we're all called to be saints. And this was the message of the great blessed Pope and the council, for the council was trying to help every single person on the planet realize that we belong to the one family of the Father in heaven. I was in the presence of Blessed John Paul II 7 times, 4 different World Youth Days, 2 gatherings here in the United States, and 1 at his vacation house in Castel Gandolfo. Every time I was in his presence, I knew that I was in the presence of a man who was in deep communion with God, and I became more and more thirsty for that communion myself. I learned from Blessed John Paul II, how to thirst for Jesus Christ. Looking at him celebrate his faith inspired me to celebrate my faith. He became a rock for my faith. He showed me the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He pointed to the divine person of Jesus Christ and invited me to plant my roots deeply into Jesus. Because the Blessed Pope wrote, I read. Particularly, I remember reading his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, where he talks about Mary as the mother of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It is in this encyclical that he taught me to look toward Saint Louis Marie de Montfort. He says in that encyclical that there were 2 great writings that influenced his life, Sacred Scripture and True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. So I had been reading Scripture already, and I knew that I had an interest in Mary, didn't really understand her. I did not grow up praying the rosary. And so I knew something was missing. I read True Devotion to Mary. I made a consecration to Mary, and then everything changed in my life. I am forever grateful that God created this man, that he placed this man at this time in the history of the world, that I might have been influenced by him. I'll never forget the first time that I saw him in person. It was in New Orleans back in 1987. Blessed John Paul II had planned a trip to meet with young people and to come to the United States. And I remember this journey because my parents surprised me with it. I actually had come back from a canoeing trip, and my mom had said to me, Justin, I've got some news for you. And I said, what would that be, Mom? And she said, you are going to go see the Pope. You know, I never thought that I would ever see any Pope. So it was amazing to me. First time I ever flew in a plane. And when I ended up in New Orleans, I remember everybody going crazy about the Pope. And I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to act like a fanatical Pope lover. Well, the papal route began. And the Pope drove by in his Pope mobile. And everybody in our youth group ran as if he were the Beatles. And I thought to myself, I'm not doing that. So I just stood there and I tried to withstand his magnetism. But something came over me. The Holy Spirit is in this man, and my soul knew it. And I ran toward him. And at that moment, I knew that this man was following Jesus, and I wanted to follow him. I wondered in my heart, what does it mean to be a pope? What does it mean to lead billions of souls around the world? In Blessed John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, I could see one who embraced that leadership, one who found his vocation, that his connectedness to God throughout his young years and his young adult priesthood, his ministry as a bishop in Poland, and then his ministry as the Supreme Pontiff, was one that he embraced with all his heart. I could see, here's a man who's living his consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who heard those great words, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This saint found favor with God. He toiled like the sun to bring the light to every corner of the world, so that every corner of the world might know the love of Jesus Christ, to know that they can be reconciled to the Father in the Son. Like Mary, he made the visitation to every corner of the world. He brought the unborn child, Jesus Christ, to all of those women around the world expecting life, and said, "You have dignity." He brought the young person around the world with him and said, "Journey with me, lead with me, point the way with me to the one who will bring life to every single soul." He reminded each one of us that the truth is not subject to my own reality, but yet extends beyond everything I know, much greater than my reality. He allowed the entire world to watch as he led us in prayer. He wasn't afraid to say, "Here's how you pray." People would go to private audiences with the Pope and would often see him in deep prayer and were able to say, "Here's a model. Here's how to pray." I remember at World Youth Day when he would be deep in prayer after Holy Communion or during the reading of the Word of God, and I'd watch him. And so was everybody else watching him on a huge jumbotron screen. Here's how to pray. Our generation had known that human ingenuity alone isn't enough. We knew there has to be a deeper reality. So this great man showed us how to seek that greater reality, how to bring our talents and to nurture them as a part of the great symphony of love that God has created in the world. He was almost like the conductor, saying to each instrument, "Here's when you come in, and here's how it'll all sound, so that we can draw all souls to the divine mercy." This great man's vision for reality is wrapped up in the merciful Savior, the God-man, the one who brought his divinity into our humanity and our humanity into his divinity. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. He said, have confidence in his mercy. This great saint was forged in the tragedy of World War. This great saint was forged in the beauty of Poland. This great saint embraced his contemporary saints and canonized them. Is not Saint John Paul the general of all saints? I see it this way. Mary is the queen of all saints, and Saint John Paul II is her number one. There are souls that have danced with him, that have wondered about his meaning to their own life. Still today, people that encountered him want to know what he knew, for he is not just the Catholic's saint, a saint for all humanity. While Jesus is the Redeemer of all humanity, he has chosen this one, this pontiff, to be the saint for everyone. Like when he was a child, he was the goalie on a mostly Jewish soccer team. In a very real way, this foreshadowed his ministry as the Vicar of Christ, the one who universally calls and unites all men back to the house of the Father. And now this great saint is at the window of the house of the Father, gazing down upon the multitudes of humanity that he now prays for incessantly. In the person of Jesus Christ, fully praying for us, with us, he retains that indelible mark upon his soul of holy orders and offers the sacrifice through him, with him, and in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son. We do not yet know the great suffering that we are to endure as the body of Christ, yet we can see his example as he suffered and died, the beautiful example of how to entrust oneself with confidence in the divine mercy of Jesus. Thank you, St. John Paul II. Thank you for showing me how to live. I didn't have enough examples in my life of how to follow Jesus, but I had you. You kept pointing to thousands of examples and raising them to the holy altar. You canonized hundreds of saints, and now you join them, and you join them as a great army contemplating the unfathomable divine mercy for all eternity, that the conscience of the world might be illuminated by the way, the truth, and the life.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Well, I have to say that that is probably one of the most profoundly beautiful and moving TNEP segments. I mean no disrespect to 2 years of work that Justin has done for Catholic Vitamins, but because of my deep love for John Paul II, because of having done the consecration to Jesus through Mary, the de Montfort consecration that he mentioned, and just because of the life that Justin is giving as witness to his faith. Thank you so very much for that powerful share, Justin. We hope that we will have more of those from you as time continues.
You mentioned earlier about how we saw Pope John Paul II when we were in Italy in 2004. That was only 5 months, 5.5 months before he passed away.
Yes, it was, right.
And he passed away on your birthday.
Yes, he did, April 2nd, 2005. And it happened, Dee, do you remember that I had been assigned to preach that weekend?
Mm-hmm.
It was a 5 o'clock Mass, or 4:30, I can't remember what time the Mass was back in Colorado. And I had the start of two homilies, or one homily with two starts prepared. What if John Paul was still with us and living, because he was very precariously near death, and what if he had passed? And it was just hours after he passed away that...
It was very noticeable to us when we were there,
yeah,
and saw him, that he was very, very frail by that time.
But he was enlivened by the people who came to love him and greet him and to sing to him. It was a joyous event for sure.
And speaking of people who are up there in years...
Yes.
I'm not referring to us.
Oh, thank you.
But a bonus of this trip I just came back from was getting to see my mother.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because she's only, 2 hours away from where I needed to go for that funeral. So we put some extra days onto the week, the mm-hmm. trip, and I got some unexpected quality time with her. I was really thankful for that. She's 94 years old.
I know that it means so very much to her. She loves it when you come to visit. She never wants you to leave, and she always wants you to come back.
And we'll be back in 2 months.
Yeah,
God willing, I told her it would just fly by and we'd be back walking through her door in no time.
God willing, yeah. That'll be great. I think that's probably all that we need to do for this show. I want to say to all of our listeners to Catholic Vitamins that we are going to be in prayer for you that you have the holiest of holy weeks. Our pastor, Father Lucero, said at all the masses he preached this weekend, and he said that were it not for what took place this week, at Christmas and all of the other celebrations of the world would be virtually meaningless. It's only because of what Christ did with the passion, death, and resurrection. So we wish you a holy, holy week. We will probably be trying to post a show on Easter, but if we get involved in something and it's a day or two later, we want to right now pass our wishes for happy Easter, a blessed Easter.
So for next time, we will do Catholic Vitamin Y.
All right, now listen closely because this is going to really be a tough one. This is very, very tough.
You're going to have to put your thinking caps on.
All right, you ready? Catholic Vitamin Y, it ends with the letter N, N.
And it has three letters.
All right. Okay, if you could figure this out or why we're doing this, you are awesome. Catholic Vitamin Y, our next show. And Dee, thank you for being back beside me.
I'm happy to be back beside you.
To your listeners, thank you and blessings.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land.
Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The poor in spirit you